You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Last week we started I was just going to preach last week just one time, and it didn't work out that way. I started teaching on the integrity of God. Everybody say integrity?
Integrity.
You know, when you think of integrity, you think about truthfulness, I guess, when you think about it, but it's actually more than just truthfulness. Integrity, if you look up in the dictionary definition of integrity, it's a firm adherence to a code of especially moral or artistic values, incorruptibility. In other words, we have a standard and we stay with it. Second definition is unimpaired condition, soundness, wholeness, like a building. You know, if a building were to crack or crumble, then it would lose its integrity. The integrity of an airplane keeps it intact in the air. And if it has cracks in the wings, then its integrity is compromised. So integrity means more than just truthfulness. It means soundness and wholeness and completeness. And so we talk about the integrity of God and integrity of His Word. We're talking about the wholeness, the completeness of God. God's Word is good because God's good. Are you out there? And we often say a man's only good as his Word, but really his Word's only as good as he is. Isn't that right? I mean, because anybody can say something, but his character will determine whether he's really going to do it. And integrity as opposed to honesty, you know, honesty is just telling the truth. It's just saying what you did. I mean, you can rob a bank and be honest and say you did it. I did it, you know. But that's not integrity. That's just honesty. That's just saying the truth. That's saying what you did. Integrity is doing what you said. Are you out there? Okay, it's getting quiet in here. Okay, I'm going to get around 12, and if I have integrity, I'll let you out by 12. Amen. I got an amen on that. That's, okay. So, you know, integrity is conforming. I think of it this way, it's been said. In fact, I read it, I believe, in a Stephen R. Covey book. I don't remember if it was Seven Habits of Highly Effective People or The Eighth Principle or Principle Rule of Leadership, one of his books. Wrote some great books on leadership. Incidentally, he was Stephen R. Covey wrote a lot of business leadership books. He was a Mormon, so he was, but he believed in Jesus Christ, strongly believed in Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior, and wrote a lot of good books. In fact, he'd end his books with something spiritual, something that Jesus said or something that's really kind of neat. I was thinking of maybe our next president might be a Mormon. I just thought I'd throw that out. But anyway, he said this, he says, honesty is conforming your words to reality. I thought that was real powerful, because being honest is just saying what reality is, what's going on. Honestly, you know, this is a chair. That's being honest. I'm conforming my words to reality. I'm letting my words be formed by what is real, what I see. That's just honesty. But integrity is conforming reality to my words. In other words, I say I'm going to do something, so I make it happen. I make it, the reality, come to pass. That's different than honesty. Honesty is just conforming words to reality. Integrity is conforming reality to my words. Are you out there? I say I'm going to do something, I go do it. You know, I say I'm going to make this happen, I go make it happen. I give a man a promise, and I keep that promise. I conform that reality to my words. That's integrity. That's character. Are you out there? Now, that's a little different than just being honest. Anybody can be honest. I mean, a crook can be honest. A thief can be honest. Are you with me? But integrity is another thing altogether. That's actually doing what you say, making it happen. You know, those that really do what they say appear to have more control over their environment than people that don't do what they say. Isn't that right? They either have more control over their environment, or they're more committed to what they say. But whatever the case, they seem to have more character. And you know, that's what sustains us. That's what makes God so good and so dependable and so faithful and so loving, is that He doesn't back off what He says. He will do what He says. We can trust God. We can believe Him. We can call on Him in the time of trouble. We can know that His love for us will not fail just because we mess up. He still loves us. We've always got a friend in Him. We can always run to Him. We can always call on Him. He will always help us. He'll always be there if we'll turn, if we'll go back, if we'll come to Him. He won't defriend us like on Facebook. He won't block us, you know, and defriend. I've had to do that a couple of times because people don't always continue to serve God. And I don't really want to just turn on Facebook and hear all that stuff. So I have to, you know, block that because, you know, that's my Facebook, when I look at Facebook, it's not a trash bin. I don't want, you know. Okay, I'm not talking about anybody in here, okay? Just stay with me, so don't get mad. But God doesn't give up on us. God's always there. He's always faithful. He's got character. He's not just powerful. He's got character. He's not just able. He doesn't just have gifts and abilities. He's not just power, you know. He has integrity. He has character. You know, a lot of people are gifted, but they don't have integrity. A lot of people have a tremendous strength and power, a lot of money, but they have no integrity. Are you with me? And it's been said that gifts may open doors for you, but integrity keeps it open. And gifts may, charisma and gifts and talent may get you to the top of the mountain, but character keeps you from falling off. I think in a lot of times people's gifts are far greater than their character, and so it can't sustain them. Their gift cannot be sustained because their character won't allow it to be so. You hear about scandals. You hear about people that are terribly gifted, terribly, I mean, tremendously talented, and yet because of scandal, because of a lack of integrity, people don't trust them and they ruin their future. You know, it's a terrible thing. You hear about people with great talent died overdose on drugs. Their character just wouldn't sustain that talent. Terrible thing. What if they'd serve God? What if they turn that gift over to the Lord? Often think about that. We need to build our lives on character, build our lives on keeping our word, build our lives on keeping His word, on conforming reality to what He says. In other words, doing what He says. And that's what the Scripture says, and we've went over several verses along those lines. In fact, we ended up with 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians 3. Slow this down a little bit. Notice what it says in the 9th verse. It says, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That's interesting. He calls us His building, but then He says we're laborers together with Him. Wow. You know, we often think God just does everything. He doesn't. He doesn't. He leaves a lot of it up to us. We have free will. We have choices. We can serve Him or not serve Him. We can obey Him or not obey Him. But He wants us to work together with Him. I like that. And even when I do act to do right and to obey God and do the things He says to do, I'm not acting alone. I'm acting with Him. Now, if you don't want to serve God and you don't want to do right, then you are on your own. If you want to be a bad person, you don't need God's help. Okay? In fact, God will let you just go be a bad person all by yourself. If you want to be a good person, He'll help you do that. He'll help you be a good person. In fact, you need His help. So why don't we labor together with Him? In other words, He's the master builder. He has the master plan. He's got the blueprints. Let's join His crew. And let's build this building the way He wants to build it. Now let's labor with Him so we can get it done. Are you out there? But let's join up with Him. Let Him help us. And if you're going to take the integrity route, the route of being honest and doing what you say, not just being honest, but and doing what you say, keeping promise. Everybody say keeping promises. That's so important. I mean, I hadn't always kept my promises. I've tried to, and then whatever reason, you know, laziness or just distractions, it's my fault. I just didn't keep a promise or didn't do what I said. That hurts. That puts a wedge between you and people. They remember those kinds of things. I remember when people didn't keep promises and didn't do what they said concerning what they said about me or for me. They're going to help. They're going to do this, going to do that, and they didn't do it. And I know they remember when I didn't do it. But I tell you, the people that are endeared to or become friends or you become have a high respect for, or the people that have a high respect for you are people that kept their word or you kept their word with them. You've built a building of integrity. You've built this house, this life of doing what you say. Amen? Now, none of us are perfect, so we've got no stones to throw. We're not pointing at each other here. Because not a one of us in here had lied once or twice. I did one time, 15, 20 years ago. Y'all want to get out at 12 o'clock? Because I can keep this a lot longer if y'all don't respond. But I mean, you know, we're not, none of us are perfect, but we're striving for that. And we want to be people of our word. God is, isn't he? He's a God of his word. He's going to do what he says. Why don't we do what we say? Let's build with him, praise God. Let's build the kind of house he wants to build, the kind of life he wants us to have, the kind of marriage he wants us to have, the kind of business he wants to. Let's be business people that do what we say we're going to do. Let's be employees that give that employer the 8 hours a day or whatever time we work with him, give him the best or give her the best we've got, put in our time, do our job, do what we say. Amen? Let's be Christians, believers, that really do pray for each other, really do love each other, really do follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that follow his word. Let's have some integrity. Let's don't just say, let's do. Amen? He says, we are laborers together with God. You are God's husband. You are God's building according to the grace of God, hallelujah, yes, which is given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another builds thereupon. Let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Yes. Make me want to shout. Ooh, make me want to get excited. Now, Jesus Christ is the slab, the concrete that I'm building my life upon. Man, if I can get the slab right, if I can get the foundation right, then I got hope, praise God. The storm may come, the wind may blow, but I'm standing on Jesus Christ. My salvation is based on what he did. It's not based on what I did. I'm building on something more solid than my life, and my history, my family, my genealogy, my color. Hello? Come on. I mean, I think there's a certain pride we should have in our race. That's fine. Everybody should do that. That's wonderful. I think it's great genealogy and search it out and, you know, and find out about your relatives. But you build your life on the things that you do, on keeping your word, on keeping promise, on character. That's how you build your life. You know, because you can't continually lie, continue not keep your word, continually not do what you say, and up one day, down the next, and serving God one, not serving God the next, and expect a lot of people to have respect. Are you with? And I'm talking to me, all of us. I'm not, come on, this is not a condemnation sermon. This is good stuff, amen? This will help all of us. You know, the circles that you move in and have respect in are circles that you're committed to, people that you know, you're disciplined. You do what you say. But one thing for sure, you got to start out right. You got to have the right foundation. Now, all of us as Christians have started out with the right foundation. We just need to take heed how we build thereon. That's what he says. How are we building on this foundation? Well, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, no doubt about that. I'm saved according to my confession of faith in Christ Jesus. I have confessed him as my Lord and Savior and believe that God has raised him from the dead. Therefore, I am saved according to Romans 10:9. I have called upon the name of the Lord, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved according to Romans 10:13. I have received Jesus into my life, and I have become a child of God according to John 1:12-13. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I love it. I believe Jesus is the Christ. Therefore, I'm born of God. 1 John 5:1. No question there. I'm a Christian because of my faith in the Lord Jesus. That's the slab that I have stepped up on. Hallelujah. My life now is based on that. Now, whatever I build thereupon, laboring with God, I can't build the slab. I can't lay the slab. I can't lay it. No other man can lay that slab than which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. I can't redo that. I can't go to the cross. I can't pay the price of my sin. Are you with me? But I can stand up on that slab. I can have that as my foundation. Then I can build on that with God. I can build character. I can build trust. I can build, are you with me? So I can build on that with God. And I need to take heed how I build it. I need to be someone that builds it like he built it. You know, use the materials he would use. Build the walls the way he wants them built. You know, you think about singing, you know, there's all kinds of talented people that can sing. Some can, some can't. But if we're up here playing a song and you're singing a song, it would sound a whole lot better if you'd sing the song that we're singing. And are you with me? And follow the music. And if we were having a play up here, it'd be great if you would follow the script. and not ad lib. Well, and if you're building a house, it works out generally, Jerry could tell you this, it generally works out better if you follow the blueprint instead of putting a room where you want to put it. Hello. So in our lives, it's that way. Now, we've got this slab poured, but that's just the slab. There's all kinds of ways you can build rooms around that slab, you know. But let's follow the script. Let's build it the way he wants us to build it. It'll sure turn out better. It'll look better. It'll hold up better. Amen? And that's called integrity. Integrity is doing what you say. Well, in another sense, it's doing what Jesus says to do. If he says love, let's love. If he says pray, let's pray. If he says forgive, let's forgive. You're building your life. These little things that we do daily turn into big things after 2 or 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You know, people don't get mean overnight. Hello. And people don't get good overnight. You may become great by chance, but you will not become good by chance. Really, some great event can take place. I mean, you know, there can be some car wreck and you can save someone. They might have been a senator or the president of the United States or somebody, you know, and you're considered great because of some event. That can happen. Greatness can happen. It can be pushed on us. It can be thrust on us. It can happen through events, through things that really beyond our control. But goodness, to be good, to be a good man, to be a good woman, you got to work at that. Nobody was ever good by chance. You didn't just fall into goodness. You made commitments. Are you with me? You committed your life to it. You worked on some things. You changed some things. You quit doing some things that you recognized that were wrong in your life and started purposely doing things, disciplined yourself to do things that were right. You built together with God on this foundation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Hey, turn over to Matthew 7. I only got about 10 minutes here. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! It's good stuff. Man, love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
Oh, that's cheap. I got it anyway. Not even fair, really, when you ask for it and you get it. You know, Matthew 7. And in context, think about this. This is called the Sermon on the Mount. Starts in the 5th chapter. He talks about the Beatitudes, you know. Goes into the 6th chapter where he talks about your heart and serving God and praying and giving to the poor and where your heart is concerning money and so on. And goes into the 7th chapter, talks about prayer, you know, asking and so on. And then he ends up here and he says in the 24th verse, he says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Woo! Hallelujah! I like it. We're talking a solid foundation now. You want a solid foundation? I do. How about you? I mean, come on, you get your slab all messed up, or if you're on pier and beam, or you're on blocks like my house is. I live in an ancient house. It was built before dirt, I think. But anyway, I'm constantly having to fix things because it's just on blocks, you know. I mean, it's an old house, and I've refloored it. I mean, I've tore the floor completely out of our bed, completely. Nothing but the walls there, and put new beams, you know, new treated beams underneath it and refloored it. Tore the floor out of the little sitting room by the fireplace. Had to tear the fireplace out because you could put your hand in the bricks. And we've been living there 30 years. The house was probably 80 years old when we moved into it. 80 years old or 100 when we moved into it. And the front porch, I mean, goodness, I built the front porch on it. The front wall leaned 3 inches and 8 feet from the north wind. Really. It leaned, the top leaned in toward the south because the front's the north side of the house. It leaned in, so I had to put a fake front on the front to straighten it out. I cut into the bottom, put a fake front. It looks just, you know, looks real plumb and everything now, but it's not plumb on the inside at all. Every wall I've worked on is like this and that, and, you know, and the floors are this way and that way, and I built on a new room in the back. But the foundation's just off. It's just off. And because the foundation's off, it affects everything else in the house. I wasn't in the house very long at all where I had to re-roof the house. And on the top of the roof, the apex, you know, the peak, you know, where you come together, you have an A-frame and you have an apex at the top. The top of the roof, from one end all the way till it hit the chimney, I was about 28 feet, I guess, there. I put a string on the top of the apex straight over to the top of the apex by the chimney, and it had a 6-inch belly in it. Oh, yeah. It had a belly in it. In other words, it doesn't go straight across. It went like this. And I broke two jacks trying to fix it, you know, and I finally just, I just covered it up. I put new plywood over the top. I took a, really, I did. I took all the roof off. I strung the string, and I put plywood. I built it up, shimmed it up to where it would be. It looks like it's perfect now, but it's underneath, it's like this. I hadn't told you that. You'd never know that. But why was that? Why is that? Why all that trouble? The slab, the foundation. There is no concrete under there. They're just blocks. There's an old cistern underneath, a well underneath my dining room. Yeah, so when you come over, you better hope that floor holds. Because you're not just going to the ground, you're going down the chute. I mean, it's, I covered it up, you know, it's just, whew. I mean, you see how important in the natural it is, but it's just that important in spirit. Because if you don't get that foundation right, are you with me? Your trust, your faith in Jesus. If you don't build on that, your faith and your trust in Jesus, then everything else just going to crumble and fall and crack. And well, Ted could tell you some stories about cracked slabs. I mean, they had to come in and redo his whole slab. He had cracks in his wall, brand new house. But the slab was cracked. Slab was cracked. Let's don't, see, doing the word builds a firm foundation. That's what Jesus said. He said, I liken this man that heard my sayings and did them. It's one thing to hear. Come on. Come on, we've heard the word. Come on, we've heard the word. We've heard it over and over. Most of us could quote it up one side, down the other. We've heard sermon after sermon after sermon. But I'll tell you this, there's not one sermon you ever heard that did you any good except the one you did. That's all. There's not one message or one promise that you ever heard that did you any good if you didn't stand on it. If you didn't somehow act on it and change your life, it's not going to help you because it's not the hearer, but it's the doer. The Bible says that's justified. James 1:22 tells us that. But Jesus is telling us very plainly, if we want a firm foundation, and that's what we're talking about. Integrity is a foundation. Integrity is doing the word. Doing your word, doing his word. Man, that'll build your life. You got something you can build on. And it'll also make you stormproof. You ever heard of stormproof windows, stormproof doors? Well, listen, you can have a stormproof life. You're not going to stop every storm that happens in life. Storms come. They come and go. But I tell you what, you can survive. You can stand. You can still be there when it's over. You can be storm ready. You can be prepared, as it were. And a life of integrity will prepare you for the tragedies of life. It will prepare you for the storms of life. That's what Jesus says here. He says, let's read on. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. This rock he's talking about here is just doing what Jesus said. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And the wolf, the wolf cried, let me in. And little piggy said, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Oh, come on, you know which house didn't fall. It was the brick house. It was the house built on the rock. All right. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, if you're a Christian, you're a believer in Jesus, and you stand on your word and his word, you do what you say and what he says. That's not to say things aren't going to happen and tragedy's not going to come and winds aren't going to blow, but they're not going to blow you over. And you can stand where other men fall. You can make it where others don't make it. You can become stormproof. Amen? Now here's the other side of that coin. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them will be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Never doing what you say and never doing what Jesus said is shaky, shaky ground. Sandy ground, sandy ground. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Think about it. I mean, if you're going to stand, you're going to have to be a man or woman of your word. If you're going to stand, you're going to have to be a man or woman of God's word. You're going to have to keep promises. You're going to have to do what Jesus says to do. And you can do it. You can do it. I don't care how you've lived or where you've been or what the past is. We're talking about today. We're talking about right now. Don't beat yourself over the head. I'm not beating you over the head. I mean, come on, you can turn around. I can turn around. All of us can. That's the good news. This is hope for every one of us. You say, well, I hadn't been that way. Well, you don't have to continue to be that way. You can turn around. This could be your day to pour some concrete in your life. Amen. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he'd be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and a big bad wolf came, beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now think about it. Just think it through. It wasn't the wind that blew that house over. What blew that house over was the man didn't do what Jesus said to do. Because the wind beat on the other man's house too. The reason the house fell was because the man didn't do what Jesus said. God's not promising us that we're never going to have tragedy or crisis. Now stay with me. I believe in healing, miracles, signs, wonders. I believe there's a lot of things we can stop and forestall. But there are some things that just happen in this life. We're living in a broken, fallen world. But I can tell you this from the Word of God. You can make it and you can stand. You can still be standing when it's all over. You can come out stronger. Are you out there? If you just do the Word, if you just built it on that rock, build your house on doing the Word of God. Be someone, be a man, be a woman of integrity and character. Have some character about you that you're dependable, you're trustworthy. We can count on you to be there, to do what you say, to do what Jesus says, to not just believe one day and give up the next, but to hang in there and keep believing. To not just love one day and be hateful the next, but be moody, up, down, angry. You know what the Bible says about an angry man? It says, he that's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his own spirit is better than him that takes a city. It's Proverbs 16:31-32, right in there it says that. But when you think about it, that's what he's telling us. Get a grip on our lives. Let's do what God says to do in our lives. We started out right with Jesus. Now let's build on it. Same way. Amen?